Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. However, on today, our words of encouragement will be presented by none other than Brother Bryant Tansel. His message for today is a continuation of the life of Christ. I don't know what you guys are doing, but I strongly urge that you stop, find yourself a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Tansel, you are on the air.
Good morning, Danielle. Good morning, everyone out there. Happy Friday to you, Danielle. Happy Friday to everyone on our call this morning. We appreciate you listening to our Grace Nurture program. And before we get into the continuation of Life of Christ, so last night, as you know, we have three dogs, and I always tell a dog story from time to time. So last night we had the last call to go out around 10:30. So we take the dogs out. They kind of do their business, go out in the yard. And as you know, one of the dogs I have is a male standard poodle. He's about 73 pounds. So he's always scanning the yard and looking at the fence and, you know, just kind of figuring out, hey, this is my yard and I'm going to protect it. You know, I'm always looking for something that's out of place. So I see him scanning the fence as he normally does, and most of the time nothing's there. So he takes off running as fast as he could, jumps up about 6 feet in the air and grabs another possum off the fence last night. So he looks like the Airbus 380 when he's in the air. I can just tell you, it looks like he's in slow motion. I need to put one of those GoPro cameras on him out there and see what it looks like. But so this possum that he brought over the fence didn't make it last night. So I had to get him up and take him to the big trash can, which will be taken out today. But sometimes we got to take some trash out in our life. So every week, if there's something you need to get rid of, just let it go. Put it in the trash can and let's keep moving, because next week that you got to set that trash can out again. So so that's Doce 10, Possum 0. And he's probably scared and hurried another six or seven off the fence back there over the years. So I wanted to continue today with our lesson, Jesus's parables, his miracles, and also talk about some enemies of Jesus. And Jesus was the master teacher. He told numerous parables throughout his ministry, and he used to weave them into his speeches and use them to illustrate the answer to someone's question. And sometimes they were defined as earthly stones with heavenly meanings. These homespun messages explain the spiritual concepts very effectively by comparing them with everyday events that people were already familiar with. For example, in one of the most famous parables, the parable of the sower, Jesus compares the heart of a would-be follower to various types of soils in Luke 8, verses 4 through 8, various types of soils. What's really great about this parable is that we have the explanation for it in Jesus' own words. When his disciples don't readily understand what he's driving at, he just patiently explains it to them in Luke 8, 11 through 15. So a farmer who broadcasts his precious seed hopes that it will germinate and produce grain. In a similar way, God sows the seed of the gospel in the various types of human hearts. And in the parable of the sower, the physical story between Luke 8, verses 4 through 8, we have the spiritual application in Luke 8, verses 11 through 15. So the physical stories he talks about are the seed, the path, the birds, the rocky ground, the thorns, and the good soil. And when you look at the applications of the of those in Luke 8, 11 through 15, the seed is the word of God. The path is the hard heart that's impenetrable. The birds, he symbolized the devil. The rocky ground is the heart that accepts the gospel at first, then rejects it. The thorns are the worldly heart that falls away, and the good soil is the honest and good heart. So make sure you've got some good soil in you. Some of these hearts, unfortunately, are hard and impenetrable. and others are uncommitted or overrun with worldliness and fear. Some, Jesus said, are honest and good, which means these people are receptive to the gospel. They're willing to listen, and they're willing to repent and make changes in their life. Unfortunately for us, we're not necessarily familiar with many of the subjects Jesus used for his demonstrations and stories. In his day, however, everyone knew it was like, they knew what it was like for a farmer. There were many farmers out there. They knew what it was like to have an oversized bag of seed slung over the shoulder, and that they would reach into it as they walked along. Jesus didn't tell stories that would necessarily relate to us in the 21st century. He based his parables back then on situations and events that related to his first century Palestinian audience. But with little effort, Jesus' teachings about the nature of his kingdom and its citizens can be planted in our hearts today. So when we look at some of the miracles of Jesus, as God, Jesus was all powerful. He experienced in his humanity what it felt like to be hungry and tired, but he was all at the same time fully and completely God. This certainly included his ability to perform miracles when he used to confirm his claims of deity in Acts 2:22. He wasn't a circus performer, and he never used his miraculous powers for selfish gain in Luke 4, verses 3. And when people refused to believe that Jesus was the Christ, they never denied the genuineness of his miracles. They couldn't, because every miracle he performed was obvious and undeniable. So there were those who did just that. The religious leaders of Jesus' day flat out rejected Jesus' claim to be the Christ. And when we move over to talk about some enemies of Jesus, we turn our Bibles from the Old Testament to the New Testament. There are a number of changes that have taken place. And among those during the period between the Testaments was the ascension of the religious groups called the Sadducees and Pharisees. Now, you can't say the word Sadducees without saying sad you see. These people were sad to see Jesus. And I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. And when you talk about the Pharisees, there's nothing fair about the Pharisees. And we're going to explain why in just a minute. These people were always trying to trip up Jesus. So these two sects in particular are mentioned in numerous times in the pages of the gospel because throughout the ministry, Jesus was constantly locking horns with these people. So the first one says, as we talk about the Pharisees, they were hypocrites. As the self-proclaimed teachers of the law of Moses, the Pharisees taught the people a high standard of moral living and privately were more forgiving on themselves in Matthew 23 and 3. And you know people like that today. They were revered by the people. They pretend to be very devout on the outside, and yet in their personal lives, many of them had lost their way. So Jesus exposed their hypocrisy, and for that they hated him. They were also religious snobs. The religious leaders in Jesus' day had their own preconceived notions of what the Christ was supposed to look like and do. He didn't even come close to their list of qualifications. Instead of being rich, handsome, and from a powerful family, our Lord was raised by a poor carpenter in Nazareth, an insignificant Galilean village. This was a very small village that was very insignificant. And even as they had accepted Jesus' claim to be a direct descendant of David, they found nothing very royal about him. Interestingly, Isaiah had prophesied as much. According to that great prophet of God, the Messiah, for example, Christ, would have, and in Isaiah 53:2-3, it says, would have no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not, is what they said. In their spiritual short-sightedness, they could not get past their worldly prejudices and accept Jesus as the Son of God. And because of that, they rejected Jesus. And they were wrong. Imagine meeting the one person who has all the answers, Jesus, God in the flesh, who understands everything. He was capable of telling them about nuclear fission or explaining to them the finer aspects of calculus. Not that he would have yielded such human speculation, but they had no idea who Jesus really was. And to their amazement, this nobody, quote unquote, from Nazareth, effortlessly quoted the Old Testament and repeatedly showed them how they were mistaken in their interpretations of various subjects, such as marriage and divorce, the nature of God, or the significance of the Sabbath. And yet it never occurred to these people that just maybe, maybe he was telling the truth and was, in fact, the Son of God. On one occasion late in his ministry, Jesus plainly told the Sadducees, "You are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God," in Matthew 22 and 29. Like all the times before, they come to Jesus not to learn from him, but to trip him up or make him look foolish. Jesus always turned the tables on him and made him look foolish. And for that, they hated him. So this hatred was common between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, right? You see the word hatred today. You see hatred today if you look around. And if you think of Jesus, on the left side, you got the Pharisees. On the right side, you got the Sadducees. But Jesus was walking the straight and narrow path right down the middle. So this can relate to your life. There's going to be people on the left and people on the right. But if you follow the path of Jesus, you're going to follow the straight and narrow way to get to the other side. So I said this hatred that united them. So the Sadducees, it has to plan to get rid of Jesus forever, and they plotted to crucify Jesus. All they needed was a help, little help from one of Jesus' own apostles, and that was Judas Iscariot. So hopefully you learned a little something today about Jesus' parables, his miracles, and we talked a little bit about the enemies of Jesus. And now I'd like to ask you to join me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much this week for allowing me to celebrate my 50th birthday on July the 20th. I'm grateful for every day you allow me to be in this life and to strive to live the life you want me to live and to give my heart, my talents, my mind to you. And I thank you so much for allowing me to see another day, Lord, and I will continue spending my days earning your trust and just living the life that you want me to live instead of the life I want to live. And I thank you so much for allowing me to see this wonderful day. I'd like to pray today for my father, Thomas Tansel, who's traveling with a group of customers in the charter bus. We pray that he stays safe and has a safe trip, but also remains safe of COVID, along with the people and the public that he's transporting from place to place. Pray for my sister, Mae Tansel, and her arthritis that ails her from time to time with her carpal tunnel, and my Aunt Betty, who suffers from arthritis from time to time, and we pray that Uncle Arthur leaves them alone. And I thank you for the life of Rosalie Williams, who's nursing homebound, and my great aunt. And my sister called me earlier this week and let me hear her pleasant, lovely voice, and she was able to wish me a happy birthday at 103 years old. Thank you so much for her beautiful life on this earth. And we pray that all the people attended to her care and anyone that we have in the nursing home and long-term care environments gets the care that they need and they deserve. We pray for all of our sick on this call that you may continue to be with them during this time, and the caregivers, whether they're family members or they're an inpatient unit, that they're able to administer to them. We pray for all of our sister churches of Christ and their ministries that they're doing in their outreach programs to the public. We pray for our small business owners who get on the call and ask for help, and we pray that they're able to shift and pivot their business during this time to survive and get to the other side and get the grant money they deserve, the finances they deserve, the funding they deserve, and the customers they deserve to continue to donate a portion of that back to our ministries and services. We pray for their success on this call. And all the people out there looking for work that want to get back to a place where they can continue to provide for their families. Thank you for everyone on this call. And, Lord, you know the prayers and the hearts of these lovely people. I'm asking you to grant them some additional blessings this weekend. And we thank you so much for being with us during this Grace Nurture program each and every day of the week. Pray for the ministers as well as they prepare the lessons for these lovely people. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
Have mercy on me, Lord. I just can't seem to get it right. Please don't give up on me, Lord. But as it's not favoring your sight, I don't.
See?